Today is a triumphal entry. Well, I guess that's what our message is about today. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms 40. In Psalms 40, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Psalms 40, verse 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And then verse 4, it says, blessed is the man or woman who makes the Lord their trust. Verse 3 again, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust the Lord. Do you have a new song in your heart today? One of praise, one of glory. I have been set free. Colossians 1:13 says, he delivered me out of the powers of darkness. We have been called into the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 states, Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to save the lost. Praise God, I was lost, but I have been found. If you know Jesus, you should have a new song in your heart. You were dead, but now you are made alive. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if we put some icing on that cake today, he is coming again. Are you ready? Are you living in expectation? Then church, we should be singing to our Heavenly Father to glorify and to magnify his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 7. Revelations 1 and verse 7, it says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Yes, Jesus is coming again, a triumphal entry of entries. But the triumphal entry that we're going to be talking about today is a foreshadowing of this one that is going to come. Turn with me to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John and chapter 12. In John chapter 12, and we're going to pick up reading at verse 12. So John chapter 12 and verse 12. And verse 12 says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that they had done these things to him. The triumphal entry is in every one of the Gospels. In verse 13, it talks about the palm branches. They took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out. The palm branches represented victory, peace, eternal life. The triumph that would be taking place. They waved them. They laid them before him. In verse 15, we see the prophecy of Zechariah. So if you look at verse 15, it says, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. We see the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Immediately, the Jewish people jumped to his second coming. They didn't recognize his first coming. They went right to his second coming, where his government was going to be on his shoulder, that he was going to rule, thinking now that Jesus would set up his kingdom, restoring Israel to its political power and also its national power. The word Hosanna simply means save us, save us. And you can add the word save us, we pray. But very simply, it means to save us. But they were not really concerned about being saved from their sins, but from the Roman government. If we look at verse 13, it says in verse 13, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, what? The King of Israel. Now I want you to turn from here. We're going to come back to John, but turn with me to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at the story there, the triumphal entry. So Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, if you look at verse 10, and this is what it says here. It says, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Thinking about, yes, Jesus was going to restore Israel to power and he would rule as David ruled. But they were not thinking about jumping ahead, and they did not read far enough into the story. In John chapter 12, if we go back to John 12, and if you look at verse 14, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt, as it is written. Later in Zechariah, if you were to study the book of Zechariah, it talks about Jesus' first coming, but it also talks about his second coming and the end times. But they didn't go, they went right straight to the very end. They wanted a king that was going to rule and raise Israel back up to its supreme power. And because Jesus did not come in that way, we find out the Jewish nation today is still looking for the Messiah. And they're going to find him during the tribulation period when all eyes are going to turn to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They do not recognize him today as being the Messiah. They do not recognize him as being their Savior. Jesus came to save. He's going to come back to rule. But he came first to save. We see here that they had the cart ahead of the horse. The scripture says here in verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, setting on what? A donkey's colt. The donkey was a sign of peace, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, go back to Revelation in chapter 19, we're going to see another illustration. In Revelation chapter 19, 19 and go to verse 11. So Revelations 19 and verse 11, and listen to the imagery that's pointed out to us today. He says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. You don't see a donkey, do you? Behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with robe dipped in blood, and the name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he would strike the nations, and he himself would rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, if you didn't know who this was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is this how Jesus came back in the first triumphal entry? And the answer is no. But at the second triumphal entry, he will not be riding a donkey as a sign of peace, but on a horse as a conquering ruler, as a righteous judge, to defeat the powers of darkness. In the first triumphal entry, Jesus came as our Savior. The second, he will come as a righteous judge. But I think the disciples took turns each day saying, Jesus, is now the time that you're going to support and you're going to change and raise Israel up to the national power that it needs to be? Is today is going to be the day? And it's almost like they took turns every day asking him that question. If you look at Acts chapter 1, go back to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to find that just before he leaves. Acts chapter 1, In verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And that's when he says, he goes on to say, and he said to them, is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Humanity, all of humanity, it's just not Israel, focuses on the wrong things. Even worries about the wrong things. Last week we talked about fear, the fear of COVID, the fear of sickness, the fear of death or our health. We can be afraid of the stock market. All of those things, but they're not the things that we should be afraid of. Is God not our provider? Yes, He is. He's our provider. Is God not our healer? Yes, He is our healer. But God is also our Savior. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we read this parable today, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We start reading from verse 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But look what he says in verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Israel's greatest fear was not the Romans. America's greatest fear is not Russia or China. America's and every American's greatest fear is not knowing God. Christ came to save and to have you. The question is, have you found Him yet? Have you found Him in your own life? In Luke chapter 4, verse 17, I won't go to that scripture. I'm going to go to the prophecy that is prophesying that scripture, found in the book of Isaiah, and we will see what Jesus came to do. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. I love this scripture. I could read it every Sunday. In Isaiah 61 verse 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Listen, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Jesus came to save, to heal, and to deliver, and He is here today to do that. This week in my prayer, as I was praying, and I sent this note to somebody. I won't tell you who I sent it to. It's not anybody in this church. But the Lord told me that in this church there are some of those that hate themselves. And He said to me to tell them, do not hate what I love. If you can hate your job, and as you pray about it, the Lord will provide a different job. You can hate what you do or what you have done, but you can be forgiven of that. But hating yourself is even a deeper, deeper hurt. Young children, when they're growing up, are affected by an evil act. They no longer want to be that person. They say it happened to me as a girl. I don't want to be a girl no more. Because girls get hurt. If it happened to me as a boy, I don't want to be a boy anymore because boys get hurt. People that have personality disorders or multiple personalities, many times it is to protect themselves. Jesus is here to tell you that he took that hurt to the cross with him. That it is under the blood of Jesus. There are people out there that hurt themselves, either by cutting or doing other things. And there are people out there that have sexual relationships with other people, not because of love, but because they don't think they deserve anything better. But to be stepped on, to be spit upon, because I am nothing in this world because I hate myself. If you look at verse 1 again, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, if I stop right there, I'm going to tell you that this prophecy is concerning Jesus. Because if you go to the book of Luke, you can read it where he stands up in the congregation, he reads it to them. He goes on to say, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. If I went to Fort Madison this afternoon and I sent every guard home and I hit the button that unlocked every cell door, how long do you think it would be before that place would be a ghost town? And my question is for you today, is exactly what Jesus has done. He's hit the button. He's opened the door. And you're set free. And he's wondering why you're still standing inside. Trapped within yourself. Because you hate yourself. Because some, in my mind, unpardonable sin took place to you or with you. For some people when they were young. Can you imagine being a boy and saying, I don't want to be a boy anymore. I'm going to try being a girl. Or a girl saying, I don't want to be a girl. Because that happened to me when I was a girl. I want to be a boy. Maybe the triumphal entry is for you today. And you're the one saying, save us, save us. And he's here to do that. The prison doors are open. Are you ready to come out to be saved, to be healed, and to be delivered? Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it hurts our hearts to think of people that are being hurt. It hurts my heart to think of children being hurt. People that are never the same in their life. Because they always have that cloud hanging over their head, and it's as if they are inside that prison, and even though that Jesus has come and opened the doors, they're standing inside because they don't feel they deserve to come out. But Lord, through your power and through your Holy Spirit this week, you said, do not hate that which I love. Do not hate that which I love. Congregation, God loves you. Jesus died for you. Anything that happened to you to ever make you think that you hate yourself is not because of God, but because of the powers of darkness. Don't blame God for what has happened, but come to God to be restored. In Jesus' name.